Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Angel.
Matchies. Welcome to the church in the park. We're excited to gather in the beauty of Riverbank Park every Sunday, weather permitted, through October 5th. Not sure anybody's listening to me, but I'm going to continue.
Hey!
On a few occasions when the park is in use for other events, we'll meet in the Sculpture Garden. It's across from the library on Main Street, so keep an eye out for updates. The Sculpture Garden, this time. I know where that is. I know I'm pointing to the right place. Sculpture Garden across from the library. If you missed the last announcement when I screwed up the location, you'll know why I said that. Looking for a little fresh air and fellowship? Join us next Saturday at Shaw Park in Gorham at 11 a.m. for a walk or bike ride on the trail. So it's about 1.4-mile journey, and if you'd like, pack a picnic. Bikes can pedal on the Pace Mountain Division Trail. And don't miss next Sunday's special event. Weather permitting, we'll have our free community cookout here in the park after our service. Burgers, dogs, ready to go, and if you can bring a side or dessert to share, that would be awesome. Come as you are, invite a friend, and let's enjoy the season together. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, did we have any big
I'm
news?
Sorry. There's news. My brain. So we are approved for a $12,000 grant, and $10,000 of that will go to ODK, and $2,000 to the food pantry. That's a $12,000 grant. Not 20, 12. I almost screwed that up earlier, too. So. Bye, guys.
All right. So a couple months ago, I asked Scott if I could speak today, and he said, yeah. He said, can you speak on fear? And I said, as I chuckled inside, I can absolutely speak on fear. I chose to speak today because tomorrow is my 2-year sober anniversary. And the reason fear is so appropriate for me to speak about is because I've spent the last 2 years working on and understanding fear more than any other topic, and I've worked on a lot of topics. The number one reason alcoholics and addicts don't recover is because of resentments, which means blaming others for your problems in life. The number two reason alcoholics and addicts don't recover is because of unmanaged fear. Unmanaged fear was my number one, not resentments. Fear. And the number one reason that I haven't gone after some of my biggest dreams in life is because of fear. So understanding fear has become very important to me. Psychology says fear is experienced by every person and is the silent driver that guides our actions and decisions, and can be so powerful that it becomes the orchestrator of our entire existence. It can incapacitate us in every area of our lives. For me, it led to addiction and alcoholism that nearly took my life. And I'm going to take you through my journey over the last few years. And I hope my experience will help others find courage on their own journey. So 2 years ago, today, I checked myself into rehab. That's still emotional. If I didn't do that, I would have most certainly died. But I did do it, and I didn't die. I spent 82 days in treatment on my own free will. I chose it because I wanted to live and I wanted to heal. When I first started learning about fear, I didn't really think that much about it. I didn't think that I feared that much. I thought, like most people do when they gloss over fear, that fears of heights, spiders, sharks, the dark, stuff like that. No, not even close, Sherlock. Keep digging. That's what I came up with. I spent countless hours reflecting, writing, and praying over the last couple of years on this topic. And there's been a lot of fear that I've had to address. A lot's happened in the last few years. My marriage has failed. I lost my house. I lost my dog. My mom passed away. My grandmother passed away. I've had to rebuild my entire life alone. There's a lot of fear in all of that. When I started my fear journey, the way that I was taught to do it was to start with fear. And I did it that way. And my fears led me to what my dreams and goals actually are. But I would suggest that if you're interested on tackling your own fears, start with your dreams and your goals in life and find out what's holding you back. Because those are your real fears. It's a little quicker and a little easier than spending 2 years working on this. Some of my dreams, some of my goals, I want to travel the world. I want to travel the entire country. I want to live in parts of Asia. I want to live in parts of the Caribbean. I want to live in parts of Europe. I want to eat great food. I want to be strong and courageous. I want to be mentally healthy, physically healthy, emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy, financially healthy. I've been working on all these things. Fear is what stops or holds back anything in all these areas of life. Fear is everything from just being a little uncomfortable to absolute terror and everything in between. Like I read earlier, it can be the silent driver that guides and orchestrates our entire existence. For every single person here, not just me. Through those goals and dreams, some of the things that have held me back that I've learned, traveling alone is actually a fear of mine. Being lonely and not being able to share that experience with other people. Public transportation is my absolute kryptonite. It's uncomfortable. I'm an epic failure at public transportation. If there's two buses, I will get on the wrong bus. It's just inevitable. Solo wilderness camping and paddling. There's fear in that. I go out to places that I'm all alone. I may not see people for days. I could get hurt. And there's a lot of potential loneliness in that activity. People here that know me know that I do all those things. I travel alone. I do public transportation in other countries alone. I do solo wilderness camping and paddling all the time. We'll get back to that. Some other fears that are more recent, they're a little deeper than those kinds of fears. They are a fear of divorce, leaving my best friend behind, and doing life alone. Incredibly fearful. For me, fear of relapse. I know that if I ever drink again, it will likely kill me. I will not be able to stop. We'll come back to that too. One of my deepest fears is the fear of love. I'm going to come back to that as well. These things hold me back. They hold me back from living the best version of my life, best version of myself that I can be, the man that God created me to be, to do the things that He intended for me to do, living out God's purpose and my dreams. So, how do I reconcile these fears with my purpose and dreams? Well, what does Scripture say? There's two categories in Scripture, and there's a lot of Scripture in both. There's do fears and there's don't fears. In this series, we've been talking a lot about the don't fears. And I'm going to touch on that. This series, the verse that we've been talking about each week is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. It's don't fear. Two other don't fears that I just chose were Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Cool. So just don't fear. No, that's not it. It's wrong. It's not biblical. It's impossible to be fearless. And in my experience, it's all about relocating your fears. Those are the things that are not fearing God. Those are the things that God says to not fear. The fears that I just mentioned were the fears that God says don't fear. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And that is just such an amazing, amazing verse to me. And it's been awesome trying to learn more about that and study that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we are supposed to fear, and we're supposed to fear the Lord. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish. Fear the Lord." The Puritans had a saying, "Fear God and nothing else." And they were quite bold in their practice. So really, we're supposed to learn and understand what fearing God is and what everything else is. I said I would get back to a few of these things. I do fear traveling alone. But in the last 6 months, I've gone to Barbados by myself. I've gone to Ireland by myself. I'm going to Portugal by myself in 2 weeks. And I'm doing it. Public transportation, I said it's my kryptonite. I'm going to do that too. Coming home from Ireland, man, I thought I had it all figured out. I was trying to get on this bus, right? And it's like, okay, this is the bus stop. This is the bus back to the airport in Dublin. And I go to this bus stop, and I'm standing there, and there looks like a local there. I'm like, "Hey, are you familiar with the buses?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "Am I in the right place?" He says, "No." Of course not. He said, I'm like, "Well, where am I supposed to go?" He says, you got to cross the river. You got to go 3 lights down. Instead of being at a blue bus stop, you got to be at a yellow bus stop. I'm like, "Oh, of course. I mean, why not?" So I did that, and it was the right bus stop. And I got back on the bus. I mean, when I was in Barbados, I got dropped off by a bus in the middle of a field with no cell service on a dirt road, and I didn't know where I was. And the guy said, "There'll be another bus that comes by later that will bring you to the right place." I'm like, "Okay." It's like 95 degrees out in the blistering sun. I've got like 8 ounces of water left on me. Like, all right, whatever. That's the way it's going to be. I get to where I'm going. It may take a little extra time, but I do it. So I'm going after that. I'm not going to just let it cripple me, and I'm not going to let it stop me. Being alone while you're traveling is a lot harder than it appears to be. If you've never done it, then you don't really know, but you get lonely. You know, you just do. When you're in your hotel room by yourself or your hostel by yourself, hostels are different because there's usually people there you can talk to, but you can be lonely. You know you're in a whole other area of the world, and you're by yourself. when you have to go out and eat food by yourself at every restaurant you go to or every place that you go alone, that's hard. It takes a lot of courage to get used to that and step out and do that. I've been doing that for years, and I'm getting better at it. But there's more to it than that, too. But I am doing it. Solo paddling, man, I've been on that for years. And that's another area where you can get really lonely when you're way out in the woods and there's not a human being around for a couple hundred miles. When those night critters come out and the little scratching on your tent that's maybe this high, things start going through your brain. I mean, your brain can take you places that you don't want to go. And you're by yourself, and you can just get lonely sometimes. It's hard work. All you do is work when you do that kind of paddling and camping. You're either cutting firewood, you're setting up, you're tearing down, you're paddling, you're moving. It's all 100% work. It's good work. It's work I choose to do, but it's all work. And you can sometimes sit there and be like, what am I doing? Why am I actually here? And it takes a little bit of time to refocus and redirect your brain into, I'm here because I choose to be here. I like the solitude. I like to be here, and I like to pray, and I like to meditate, and I like to spend time with God in nature. I just love to do it, and I'll continue to do that. My fear of divorce really, really held me back for the last few years. And this year I went after it, and we did it. Her and I did it, and we did it together, and it's over. And it went smooth because we did it like adults. It costs $120 and one quarter parents if you do it the right way. And I'm glad we did it because now her and I can move forward. We can have the relationship that God intends for us to have in the future. And we're not going to hold each other back, and we're not going to be held back from our purpose. And we get along perfectly well. My fear of relapse, well, I have to work my program every single day, every day, every 24-hour period. I have to do the things that will make sure and ensure that I stay sober. That's it. It's more maintenance at this point, and it's maintenance for the rest of my life. I don't work hard at this every day. I just have to do what I'm supposed to do, and I stay sober, and I live the best life that I can possibly live. And I got to tell you, 2 years ago, I never thought I could be where I am now. I mean, I'm just doing it. I'm going to read to you what I wrote about love. The wind's like trying to take all my papers. So, love, my fear of love. When I went through all my fear work, some of the things I came up with was fear of love, fears of intimacy, fear of not being good enough, fear of being abandoned, fear of being lonely and alone. And what I was able to understand after quite a bit of time working through these things is this is all one fear, and I call it the fear of love. I'm afraid of love because I'm afraid of intimacy. I'm afraid of intimacy because I'm afraid of not being good enough. I'm afraid of not being good enough because I'm afraid of being abandoned. I'm afraid of being abandoned because I'm afraid of being lonely and alone. I'm afraid of being lonely and alone because I don't trust God. Not trusting God has been my root fear for all of these things. And when I go back through all these other things, traveling, public transportation, wilderness camping, divorce, relapse, the root fear of all of my fears is not trusting God. Interesting. That took a lot of work to get to. Sounds simple, because it is. But all of my fears are because I'm not trusting God. When we do this work, some of the parts to the fear turnaround is what it's called, is now that we understand what our root fear is, well, what's your self-reliance is what we call it, and which means, what have you been doing currently? At that time, what were you doing with this? Well, because of these things, I was trying to not get too close to people or opening up too much. I try to have only a few close relationships. I was trying to live a life of solitude so I don't get hurt. Self-reliance failure is how's that working for you? Because you still have that fear. Well, it fails me because I'm not sharing my whole heart with others openly and honestly. I'm not helping others when I'm not giving myself fully. I'm living a selfish life that keeps me from loving others. That's how I've been failing with that fear. What would it look like if I actually relied on God? I can surrender this fear to God through prayer. I can meditate to stay calm and focused, seeking God's will for me. I can explore new friendships and trust God's will to be done and that He will never leave me alone. I can practice self-love by being sober and living a healthy, connected lifestyle. Connected lifestyle. When I'm not trusting God, my faith is weak. When my faith is weak, I'm not connected to God. When I'm not connected to God, my fears are being fed. This is how this whole thing works together. It all ties together. My fears are being fed. You guys know the story of the two wolves story? In you are two wolves, and they're always fighting. One wolf is darkness and despair. The other wolf is hope and light. Which wolf wins? Does anybody know the answer?
The one you feed.
That's exactly right. The one you feed. My faith is strong when I stay in connection with God through prayer, Bible study, and meditation. That's how you feed hope and light. That's how you build your faith. That's how you trust God. So you're not crippled or held back by your fears. It's incredible. Continually improving our connection with Him is the solution. Building our faith, trusting God with the results, and facing our fears. That's what I'm working on. Because I don't want to be held back anymore. I have dreams. I have goals. And I'm not done yet. That's what I want. Everybody's dreams and everybody's goals and everybody's purpose is slightly different. But I want to explore the world. I want to encourage people along the way through Christ. And I want to live my best life. I want to be emotionally healthy, physically healthy, spiritually healthy. And that all happens through connection. Connection with God through prayer, Bible study, and meditation. Building my relationship continuously, daily, every single 24-hour period. And that's what I'm trying to do. So, I'm going for it. I have been burning brighter than I have ever burned in my entire life these last couple of years. Just on fire. Like, I can't even, like, slow down. It's absolutely incredible. Even through my best seasons of life before this, I have just been burning. I want to encourage everybody every single day. That's my prayer when I wake up in the morning. Who can I encourage today? That's literally my prayer when I wake up. Give me somebody to encourage today. And He does every single day. So amazing. And then occasionally when I'm tired and I'm kind of stuck in my head, all of a sudden I realize that I've missed an opportunity. Someone was there and they were talking to me and I missed it. And I try to remember that because God put that person there and I missed it. So I continue to try to drive myself back and to redirect myself into what I'm supposed to be doing on a daily basis. Encouraging others. It's what I'm good at. I can do that. I want to do that. I want to finish this life, and I want to do that this whole time, all the way to the end. So I've been burning pretty bright, and I'm going for it. I want the best relationship with God that I can have, and I'm going for it. I want the experience, or to experience, the very best version of me that I can while I'm on this planet. So I'm going for it. I'm going after my dreams. I'm going after all of them. I'm going for it. Win or lose, fail or succeed, it really doesn't matter. I just want to be here, and I want to do it. So through obedience, I'm learning to fear God and nothing else. Keep moving forward is my goal, and never stop. That's what I got to say today.
I sense that you were getting close to finishing.
Sure.
But you're not.
No?
No.
Oh.
No.
All right. Well, okay, let's go. What do you want to talk about? You want to build a fear? You want to build a fear into Dory?
I would like to hear from you guys some questions for Chris.
Mm-hmm. Do that.
2 years of sobriety now. A total life change. We have Chris in our life group, and we have a text group that annoys everybody who doesn't like text groups. But it's just awesome because this guy is always encouraging, always building up. And he's also always sending pictures of food that we cannot get access to. But I'd just like to know if anybody has any questions for Chris. I've got one, but I want to see first from you guys. Any questions? All right, back there, Jer.
What was the final straw that took you to AA?
What was the final straw?
Yeah.
What was my bottom?
Final straw.
Death. If I didn't get into AA, sorry, if I didn't get into treatment first, if I didn't go to treatment the day that I went to treatment, I knew. I didn't believe, I didn't think, I didn't feel, I knew inside of my soul, inside of my core being, that I'd be dead within a week or two. I was done. I couldn't detox myself anymore. It was over. If I didn't do what I do, I'd be dead. So my bottom was death. I'm a little stubborn. I went all the way to the end.
Anybody else? Star. What's your go-to verse?
I wouldn't say it's a verse. My go-to when temptation is at my door is I pray and I say, God, I don't want this. I don't need this. Please take it from me. And I walk through it as if he has. And within seconds, 100% of the time, he does.
So you step obedience even when you don't feel obedience.
Yes. I try.
Yeah. Anybody else? My question is, how long did you live in secret?
Well, I've always liked to drink. Always. I mean, I like drinking now if I could. But I always kind of ruled that line, you know, from teenage years on. I always drank a beer or two more than everyone else, maybe a day or two more than everyone else. And it's a progressive disease. You don't just start off, not, at least I didn't. You don't just start off as an alcoholic, end up as an alcoholic. I mean, alcohol was fun for me like it is for a lot of people. It was relaxing for me like it is for a lot of people for a long, long time. But it just got worse and worse. And when I really started to drink inappropriately, it was because someone in my life died. And I blame myself for her death. And I used alcohol to medicate. And that took me through a few years of progressing this disease into what I became. That was my path.
Anybody else? Some of us in every group of people are what's called functioning alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And they haven't got to rock bottom yet, haven't reached that point. But what advice would you give somebody who might be on their third time, their or they've never taken that step to get treatment begin. I mean, they're looking at their lives going, I know this is out of control. I know I need to take steps, but continuing not to. What advice would you give?
I think what I would give for advice is, based on my experience, I had no idea what AA was. I was like, AA, yeah, no, I don't think so. I had to go to treatment. That's where I started my journey. And then after treatment, going to AA. And once I got to AA, I started to learn what the program actually is. And it's a biblically derived program. It just is. Now, if you're coming in from a Christian perspective, you will understand that right out of the gate. It's just a different way of explaining the Bible. And it gives you a path that is very doable, manageable, and worthwhile. So my advice to someone who doesn't really know if they want to get out of their current situation, maybe thinks it's not too bad, but it's holding you back. You know that. You know you don't want to drink the way you're drinking. You know it's holding you back. I would encourage people to go explore AA, because you don't have to, anybody can go to an AA meeting, by the way. If you want to go and hear what an AA meeting is like, anybody here can go. And when you go around the room, people raise their name. Hi, Chris, I'm an alcoholic. You would raise your name. Hi, I'm a visitor. That's fine. You can do that and hear what goes on. But the community of AA is unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. People are there to support each other and help each other. And to learn how to live a life that's meaningful and worth living. So to learn about AA is what I would suggest someone actually go do. Go figure out what AA actually is by going to a few meetings as a visitor. You don't have to say you're an alcoholic. Maybe you're not an alcoholic. Not every heavy drinker also is an alcoholic. Some heavy drinkers are not alcoholics at all. They just drink. So get educated. Get educated on what AA is. Go from there.
Yeah, it's interesting that the thing that keeps us from doing that is fear.
Yeah,
that's it. That's that fear of maybe I'll be found out. Maybe I don't want to be seen that way. I don't want to. And so we're so scared, we never take the step to begin addressing that. And I think you and others have found that, especially within our church family, it's a very supportive family that we walk through tough times together. So talk to Chris. He's around. Talk to Chris. Chris, you want to close us in a word of prayer? And got anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I will say first, this church family has been incredibly supportive to me this whole time. When I was in treatment, you guys, a bunch of you guys, sent me letters, sent me pictures, sent me cards. No one ever left me behind when I went. When I finally went and I said, this is what's happened in my life and this is what I'm doing, this church was incredibly supportive. And the other thing I want to say to people that are on the line with drinking particularly is... one of the things that holds drinkers back is they can't imagine a life without drinking. They think it's fun. Even if you still think it's fun, you just can't imagine going camping without drinking. You can't imagine going to a concert without having a few drinks. You can't imagine doing those things. And being on the other side of it now, it's pretty awesome, actually. It's not what you think it is. And you do grow into that. And alcohol is not a solution. It just holds you back, and you don't need to drink to be fun. I found out after getting sober that I'm still a hold my beer, let me try something kind of guy. I'm that guy. I kind of want to do things that are,
dumb
and dangerous. I'm just less likely to die and less likely to get arrested. That's really all, And I'm way more likely to remember it. So, I don't know. It's kind of, those are wins. Those are all wins. So, yes, I'll close this in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to speak today. You know I was looking forward to this. You know I prayed that you would speak through me. And just give me an opportunity to enjoy this and have fun with this. And I just want to pray over everyone here. that they got to hear what you intended them to hear. Everybody here has fear in their life. And I just pray that what people heard will help them address these fears, to redirect them to fearing you, fearing sin, fearing the things that you don't want them to do, and courageously going after the things that you do want them to do. So give people courage, give people strength, give every one of us courage and strength today to live this one day only, just 24 hours. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.